Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're glad to have you in here tonight with us. My, it's good to have you. And on a cold, snowy night here in the hills of East Tennessee, we hope and trust that you're warm and safe, and we're coming in good wherever that you may be downloading us on WWCR 5070 around the world, the mighty voice of Christian Talk Radio. Well, we're glad to be in here, and pull you up a seat, get your book, open it up. We're going into the Word. The Word is Paul tonight, part three of our series, four-part series on Paul. We want you to stay tuned. We've got some good information about the original fall. Did you know that most people blame the fall on Adam? But before Adam fell, if he did fall, we're going to look into the reason why that he did fall. We're going to talk about the word Satan. Satan, S-A-T-A-N, is the Hebrew transliteration of the word adversary. Therefore, Satan is the one who opposes all of Yah. When you would do good, say it with me, when I would do good, evil is always present. Now, how can that be? It's because that the adversary, remember when the Messiah was talking about the coming death that he was going to face, and Peter withstood him and said, oh no, that can't happen. That ain't gonna. And he said, get behind me, Satan, as it's written in the King James. Well, everybody thinks that he called Peter Satan. All he was calling him was the adversary against his own will. You see, sometimes you're your worst enemy. And so therefore, you are Satan. Or you are the adversary against the spirit will and the adversary, which is flesh will. Now, you know the Bible says that the flesh is not subject to God, and neither indeed can be, that the carnal mind is not subject. That's the adversary, if you will. Everything that you would do for spirit, there is a flesh mentality that tries to bring logic into the picture to get you or talk yourself out of obeying the spirit. Now, let me give you an example. Did you know that when you become willing to sanctify yourself wholly, to give yourself over to prayer and fasting and seeking, that the carnal mind will invent as the opposer or the adversary, it will invent 999 reasons why you shouldn't do that. And so that's what we're talking about as the adversary, Satan, is to that which opposes that which is good. Now, your problem is to deny the works of the flesh, or the flesh incorporate, as it tries to exist or maintain its domination over the spirit. Remember, the Bible said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many times have you ever decided, well, I'm going to fast today, and then something happens that either blocks your fasting or interrupts your fasting or causes your fasting to go awry. I've had the unfortunate mispleasure, it certainly wasn't pleasure, of planning a fasting, seeking a session to seek my Creator. And the Bible said the day that you seek Him with all your heart, you can find Him. But did you know that the powers that are ordained, and the Bible said there are no powers ordained but that which is of God, or the Eternal One. Yeah. And whosoever resists the powers receives damnation. Well, now, how are you going to resist the power? Now, let me give you an example, Matthew 4 and 1. Then the Messiah, Jesus says here in the King James, the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua in the Hebrew, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil or by the adversary. Now, just exactly what went on there? Was the great red dragon with seven heads and 10 horns with a pitchfork and a hideous laugh and, you know, red as a pickle beet, as we say down here in the South? No. It was actually the mind of Christ opposing His spirit destiny. Now, let me repeat this so that you can understand what the devil is all about. You see, your flesh man, or the flesh itself, is an adversary to the spirit. There is a constant warfare. You say, well, then, what you're saying is that I'm the devil and there's no outside influences of Satan, or Satan is not a real person. No. Yes, Satan is a real person. There is a character that is alluded to in the Bible as the fallen one. And we're going to show you how that he works. See, Satan knows the flesh. He knows the weakness of the flesh. And did you know that there is 17 works of the flesh? And amazingly, if you count the image here of the dragon, here it says the one that had seven heads and 10 horns, that's 17. Horns are something to get hooked on or hung on, or just like a bull and a matador going at it in a ring, and the bull hooks the matador, which the matador should be the one that pierces the bull, but in this case, the matador gets pierced by the bull. Sometimes things does not work out, and we're taken in our own wisdom or craftiness or our own knowledge, things that we trusted in. The Bible said, be not overly righteous, lest you shorten your days upon earth. Did you know that the carnal mind can get so preoccupied with flesh righteousness? That's a Pharisaical righteousness, by the way. They that despise the righteousness of others and admire their own. That's a Pharisee. So you can get hooked on the horns of your own righteousness. And therefore the Bible advises you, if you want to shorten your days, then be overly righteous. If you want to extend your time on the earth, accept the falls that you have. Remember I told you that the Bible says that if a righteous man falls 7 times, he'll get up. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that the Father could demonstrate in us the powers that be? And whosoever resists the powers receives damnation. Now, what power are you going to resist? You see, when temptation comes, now listen. And Satan, being the rebellious one that caused the Messiah himself to be tempted, in the final analysis here, And Satan, the adversary, said unto the Messiah, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Ain't that amazing that here Christ is contemplating in his own mind? It's a war that's in his own mind. Now, the Bible said we're tempted in all points, and he was tempted in all points. Before we were tempted, he had to endure the temptation so it can be done. Now, what if he had sold out or give in or took the temptation? Do you really know what that temptation was? If you will give in to me, if you will fall down and worship me. In other words, you see, he came from heaven, but he had to fall before Satan. This is his own earthly mind. He knew that he could be crowned king. He knew that with his knowledge, he could become a fallen, mighty one, just like Satan. You see, Satan wanted to be God of the earth. He wasn't satisfied of being in heaven in the archangel's army. Remember, he was second in command to the high post. And he walked among the stones of the fire that we're going to talk to you about. But the Bible said he fell from his steadfastness. And the Bible also warns us to take heed, lest any man, thinking he stand, fall. So it can happen to you, and rightfully so, it happens that you may learn not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And in this case, here is the kingdoms laying on the line. Christ could have come subject to the power of his own mind to accept the temporal and to shun the eternal. You see, the Bible says that Moses refused the temporal experience of Egypt to accept the hardships of service to the Creator, the Eternal One, Yahweh, and gain eternal life at the end. So that's basically what it is. Now, you ever notice that when you would decide to turn loose of, things that used to be a sin to you, and you decided, let's say, for instance, you wanted to quit smoking. Let's just use that as an example. Also, you make a vow, you quit smoking, and lo and behold, the first one that comes up, you know, maybe it's a person that would never offer you a cigarette before, and some strange reason, everybody that you meet all day long offers you a cigarette, even offers to light you one. And that's what I'm talking about. The things that you run from pursue you. And the things that you pursue run from you. So it's an endless chasing of the tail when it comes to the adversary being in your carnal mind. And you trying to put away these childish, foolish habits like smoking, drinking, and, you know, and the things that become habitual, that we feel like that are detrimental to our spiritual walk or our holiness. The Bible said to be ye holy for I'm holy. And how do you get holy without being over holy? I know some brothers and sisters that are holy, but there's so many holes in their garments, they're not too holy, if you understand what I'm talking about. So holiness is not the perfection of the flesh. Holiness in the fear of God is the perfection of the spirit. In the weakness of the flesh. All these things, he said, I'll give you all these things if you'll fall down and worship me. Now, Christ was tempted. The Bible said he was tempted. He foresaw all of the kingdoms. He could have been an eternal king in the carnal realm. Or at least as long as the eternal realm, well, as long as Satan, because see, that would have made Satan, you see, what happened here, he was trying to trade places. The adversary, the carnal mind, was trying to trade places with the spirit mind. And that's why that the Bible says that the flesh and blood mind creature cannot possess the kingdom. Now, isn't that strange? That we have a temporal walk here for a short time. The Bible says a man's life is like a vapor. And yet we let all these things hinder us from the spirit-appointed destiny of eternity. My question is, why should we seek the things of the world or pursue them when they'll run from us? And the very minute you quit pursuing them, watch them, they'll pursue you. Well, you say, well, I could serve God if I had a wife. Okay. Paul said in the Bible, you'd be better off if you remain as he was without one, because he said you're going to have trouble in the flesh. So you're going to get your alter ego or a flesh or a weaker vessel in to argue with you and to persuade you or to draw you away in cases. Now, if you find a wife, you found a good thing. Solomon said, one good man in 1,000 I found, but a good woman I haven't found. Doesn't mean that there's not good women and good wives. There is. But a good wife knows her place in the relationship is to promote or to encourage the walk of her husband or her mate, that they could enter or possess or share the hardships. You know, some women want rings and jewelry and gold and, three-bedroom home, four-bedroom home, to keep up with the Joneses, or things of this nature, when as the spirit woman would seek those things which come from above. And the Bible said they're pure and peaceful and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruit. My, what a beautiful woman that'd make. If you could find a woman that sought the things that come from above, and you had a match in mind, you didn't want to go out and carouse and womanize and leave your wife home and her crying and wanting fellowship, and you're leaving her there with the children and deserting her and going out and seeking the pleasures of the world rather than being fasting and praying and trying to unite your home as a prayer-based warrior, that you could protect your home with prayer and holiness and fellowship and a covering mantle, if you will, of Messiahship, becoming the head person in the place of. And these things can you do, and greater things can you do, because he said, I go to the Father, which is the Spirit, and those that will seek the Spirit, I will give abundantly. But when it don't come just when we want it, you know, we just throw up our hands in despair and quit and want to fall and turn back. Do not let Satan, let me show you something in Isaiah 14 and 12. This is exactly how he works. Remember now, when he tempted Christ, he's already in a fallen state. Did you know that the greatest fall, example of the greatest fall, is not yourself. It is not that first Adam. It is that being called Satan, the adversary, who fell in his carnal mind thinking that he was something, that he became nothing. So he fell from his own steadfastness. And as it says in Isaiah 14, 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Now the word Lucifer is a Latin word. Don't get too excited, because it's become accustomed to the King James Bible. Only mentioned one time in the King James Bible. It means phosphorus. In other words, a shining light. But did you know that he wasn't the shining light, but wanted to be the shining light? You know, a lot of people, I've heard a lot of people address this adversary or Satan or Lucifer as a shining light. He's not a shining light. He's not the morning star. If you read back in where we're at here in Isaiah and the book of Ezekiel, you'll find out that he wanted to be the light, and he wanted to be the morning star. So he's an imitator, or he is a convincer or a deceiver that he's the light. Now, that's why that in the Masonic legions, they worship the Luciferic nature of the carnal mind to take the temporal rule of earth in Illuminati, in other words, the enlightened ones, as opposed to those who are not enlightened, and they take the knowledge of the enlightenment of the carnal mind above, meaning that it's going to rule in power, because the carnal mind is a lot stronger in the flesh realm than is the weaker spirit mind, because so many people do not know how to strengthen the spirit, and it takes exercise. You see, the body without exercise becomes weak, and the muscles, as it ages, become very loose, and you lose. If you don't use, you lose. And then, you know, the old saying in the gym, no pain, no gain. No spiritual exercise, no knowledge of the tricks of the devices of Satan. And Paul said, I'm not ignorant of his devices. You know why? Because the devil was out there beating on Paul's head, putting stripes on his back for the spirit manifestation that Paul was exercising through the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel to the owls, becoming victim of the consequences of the gospel, as you might be today if you'll stand for the truth. Now, the old saying goes, if you won't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. How have I fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut to the ground, which weakened the nations? Now, how did he weaken the nations? Well, he sowed the tares. Did you know that the black race is a pure race without any miscegenation or without any adulteration or fornication in the blood? Did you know that most people have a misconception about the word adultery and fornication? You know, the general church teaches you that fornication is sex between two unmarried persons, and that adultery is sex between a married person or two married persons that are married legally, and so that's adultery. Neither one of those is right. They're both wrong, and they give you a misunderstanding, and that's why the enemy, the adversary, it is there to change meaning and purposes, just like he's done. Did you know that Esau was considered to be a fornicator and an adulterer, both of those, and that the Bible says that God, the Eternal One, Yahweh, the Mighty One, hated him before he was ever born, before he ever done any good and evil. He hated him because he knew that the seed that he sprouted from was corruptible. And so Esau went out and married into the family of Cain. Now let me tell you something. Don't confuse this with a Cain, C-A-A-I-N, or the grandson of Noah, like a lot of people do. This is a blood line Cainite that Esau married into. And the Bible says it displeased his parents, Rebekah and Isaac. Sorely displeased them. They were grievously displeased, the Bible says. Now, isn't that amazing that they were grieved in their soul of the temptation that Esau succumbed to when he went out and married out of the family that he was supposed to marry into? He married out of the family. But did you know that the Bible said a leopard king changed his spots, and Esau could not help from what he'd done, because if the tree's good, the fruit's going to be good, and if the tree is corrupt, as was in Esau's case, you see, he was a hybrid. Now, what do you mean? Well, I told you that there are four races in the earth. The black race, one of the most ancient races in the earth, is the black race. The yellow race, the Asiatic race, is a pure bloodline made just like it was made in its original blood. And then the white race. Now, it's three major races. Remember, there was four rivers that come out of the Garden of Eden, and we're going to show you that water, rivers, if you will, always represents streams of genetic humanity. Now, there's a fourth one that come out of that garden, and that would have been the seed offspring of the adversary, Satan, the one that fell. This is where he fell. The first mistake that Satan made and fell from his steadfastness, fell from his lofty position, lowered himself as he tried to tempt the Messiah, Yahweh Shua himself, the very God of the universe, the Eternal One, to tempt him to fall in like manner, because you see, misery loves company. And if Christ had failed for that little concoction, it was a conspiratorial concoction, you see this, they knew it was our last chance. If they could get Christ to sin, it would cast him down to earth, and all the angels would have been in a fallen state. Now, how long they could have maintained this existence through their knowledge of the carnality, rather than utilizing or using the Creator Eternal Force, which would have been taken from them, even from Christ himself. He would have no longer had the spiritual influence or the authorization, let's say, to use the eternal life force, which is called the Eternal Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as we know in modern denominational churchianity. The word Lucifer, the phosphorus one, the one that wanted to shine as a true light, was not that light. He was not the true light, ladies and gentlemen. He was what we call a light of darkness. And by falling, could never, never, never return to the state that he once was. Remember, the Bible said they left the first estate. Now, remember that the tail or the power or the influence of the satanic adversary against all that was good fell through and into humanity or the carnal mind. It's a natural thing to have a carnal mind. We just cannot escape it. That's why we got to learn. That's why we got to study. That's why we got to go to universities. And you see, Adam didn't have to do that. Adam did not attend any university. He had all the knowledge from the word get-go. He didn't have to have an experience to know what it was to do good or to do bad until the fall. Until his eyes were opened. And the Bible said, they that say they see, see not. And those that look into the spirit realm, where they can see, begin to see. So the third eye, what we call the eye that is closed, because of the flesh eyes that were opened, we begin to see, hear, taste, smell, touch, and feel, and we become alienated, if you will, indifferent, because we become creator gods ourselves, and we became the adversary against the advice, or if you will, the spirit that taught us things that don't seem right. Did you know that let me, I hope you all get my drift here. I hope you dig into the realm of where my spirit is trying to take you to. The Bible says that God chose, the eternal spirit purposely chose the foolish things. Well, you know that the carnal mind doesn't want to be foolish. I mean, he wants to go to university, get smart, and learn things, especially how to beat people out of, a mathematician. You know, if you can't count, you know, if a mathematician comes along and he's good at counting, he can count you out of your money. And so then knowledge became used in a negative, if you will, a detrimental, if you will, or an enhancing carnality. In other words, people got rich with their deception and their use of their knowledge, as opposed to being enlightened or enriched in the spirit thing. You see, to get the spirit or the enrichment of the spirit or the joy or the purpose or the intention of the spirit, you got to go with the foolish things. Well, no man wants to appear foolish. And I've had people to advise me, Pastor Buddy, you know, you could gain a lot more people if you just leave off of some of those things that you teach. You could really pack them in. like a brother was telling me about, brother had a radio call-in show. This is a popular prophet. At least he says he's the last day prophet. He's talking about the names. And one of the callers called in and asked him, this fellow's supposed to be the last day prophet, see. And they are prophets. Now let me explain. Not like in prophetic utterance, but profiting in trafficking in cash or possessions or material things that they teach a lie for. See, they'll compromise the great name, the only name that the eternal creator is God. He's only got one name. And yet they say Jesus is the English translation of Yeshua or Yahshua. And that's a joke. Anybody knows that Jesus, just like, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses try that garbage. Well, yeah, we know that Yahweh is the correct rendering of the divine covenant, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh name. But Jehovah is his English a translation. Now, if you buy that, I've got some oceanfront property for you down in Arizona. Well, I don't know why I'll offer it up. The way the earth is rolling and rolling like a drunk man, there may be some oceanfront property coming available pretty soon in Arizona. I'm telling you, folks, we're living in one of the most hectic, perilous, eventful, you don't know what's coming down the pike. This world, as well as this nation, we are in perilous times. This is the one in Ezekiel. Remember I said that the word Lucifer is only mentioned one time. It means a phosphorus. It's a Latin word for phosphorus. Lucifer. Lucifer. And if you go to what makes a match light, it is the phosphorus. And when it ignites and it's tender, when it's struck against some carbon surface, then it will tender and light, and the glow of that match will produce a flame. And this is what that word is indicating, yet it's not a Hebrew name for Satan. This is what they call a translation. And yet you cannot translate a name. Name has to be transliterated. And there's only one name to transliterate, and that's the name that they've done away with, as opposed to the name they put in the Bible, or the names that they refer you to, just like this last day prophet. And he wasn't being a prophet of truth, he was being a prophet of gain. He knows that the minute that he denounces every false name, and he knows the very minute that he hates every false way, as a true prophet will, that makes you less profitable as a prophet in the land, as opposed to being profit motive induced by telling a lie, just like that last day prophet told that fellow, oh, that's his English translation. And he didn't have enough, the prophet himself that's profiting by preaching and teaching this false name. Folks, let me tell you something. They will not tell you the truth, because they seek the profit, and they've fallen from their steadfastness. They sold out for filthy lucre. They're twice dead, plucked up to the roots. Their own words hang them every time they open it, that you can realize they're lying to you. And this brother was telling me about that. He caught the lie, and the fellow that called in caught the lie and told him so. Well, hooray, praise Yah, for truth seekers and truth standers, rather than lie fall for. You see, Christ didn't fall for the lie of Satan. Satan fell for his own lie. He preached the lie in the very beginning and fell for it, and by his own words he condemned himself and eternally locked himself out of eternal life for temporary gain. Now Satan's a prophet. The opposer is a prophet. You see, they turned the truth into a lie, rejected the foolishness of preaching the truth,
preachers that preach the truth are deemed foolish.
And that's Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. That's what Pastor Buddy has deemed as, a foolish prophet. Well, praise Yahweh for being a foolish prophet. I'd rather be a foolish prophet for Yahweh and stand for the truth and not fall for the lie of materials and profit for gain. And preach to, you know, well, I've got millions in my bank account. I'm the last day prophet, glory to God. And what I say goes, and if you don't believe it, then I'll send you to hell. I'm the prophet. Well, that is about as asinine and dumb and ignorant as far from the truth. These prophets scare you through intimidation of making themselves some great one, just like the fellow that Paul ran into was trying to persuade or turn the deputy from the faith, and Paul put a blindness on that dude that Ajax wouldn't wash off. Ezekiel 31:16, I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall. Well, the nations are shaking right now at the sound. What is the sound of his fall? Lies? Hypocritical? Remember I told you there were 17 works of the flesh, and the 17-headed beast, the 7 heads and the 10 horns, the beast that's got 7 heads and 10 horns, that adds up to 17, by the way. The works of the flesh, are they ever going to perfect man and his steadfastness toward the Father? No, because, you see, Yahweh chose the foolish things. Now, listen to what he said to the Pharisee Sanhedrin. Depart hence, for Herod is seeking to kill you. Listen to what Christ said. And he said unto them, go you and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today, and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. See, death is the perfection of the eternal being that is fought the good fight, and he fell for the devil's lies and these tricks. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall. And when I cast him down to hell with them, there's your last day prophets. Those that are profiting for gain, those that have got the big congregation, those that go to their mailbox every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Boy, they can't wait for Monday to come. They get back to the mailbox to get their tithes and offerings because of their lies, because they give a false name, and people are falling down for these false names. You see, the Bible said, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and few there be that find it, as opposed to wide is the gate and broad is the way, and many there be that go that fall for the lies of these last day prophets. I'm talking about profiteers, not prophets of the holy anointed word. They don't even have the word of Yah in their mouth. They don't even know his name, wouldn't stand for it if they did, and some do know it, use it occasionally, but say, oh, that's his Hebrew name. Folks, let me ask you a question. How many names have you got to answer to? You've only got one name, and those who you are serving only have one name, certainly, and that is the name of Yahweh, the strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Did you know that the name of Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe? Did you know that people who have a way that seems right is in the a fallen state where I will send them that descend to hell into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, remember Satan being the first one, and he's caused many to fall because they love filthy lucre. And because, see, Satan offered the Messiah all the kingdoms if he would just fall down and worship him. And you see, these preachers are pretty smart. They know that if they preach the lie, that they can be richer or profit. They can become prophets. Profiting in the luxury of the ministry. I'm telling you, folks, life's too short. And you certainly can't take none of this with you. And these old gizzards is going to have to step out one of these days and stand before him. They're going to have to give an account. And then they're going to say, well, Lord, didn't I do many wonderful works in your name? And what's that one they thought was the Lord going to say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Now, let me repeat that again. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, the word flesh, which is the opposer of the spirit man, remember those, here's the truth of it. Now, I know this sounds foolish, but let this foolish prophet, not for materials, but for the truth, let me tell you something right here. You have an inward man, and you have an outward man. To serve that inward man, you've got to be foolish. And to serve the outward man, you've got to be very wise. Now, does that tell you anything? The works of the flesh, Strong's number 2041, are manifest, and these are they. Adultery and fornication. Remember, that's the first two things that I gave you. Adulteration is taking the original blood and taking it to another race and adulterating it to another bloodstream. That's adultery. Fornication is someone with good blood and going outside their bloodline and taking a woman that is not of the same blood or the accepted bloodline and bringing it into labor. Fornication, such as Esau, a fornicator, that fornicated his blood, crossed the bloodline. Remember, I told you there was four bloods. That blood, that final blood, was the Canaanite blood, and that is the blood of a hybrid alien. Satan's seed is hybrid alien called Canaanite. They will not possess the land, but the only way that they can thrive or exist is to mate or cross their blood with the other original races, and that's what they're doing today. So the first two things of manifesting flesh of the carnal mind to fall is adultery and fornication, uncleanliness and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, hearsay, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, or reveling, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom or the spirit place of their being. Folks, you can't have it both ways. You're either going to have to stand for the foolish things that Yah has chosen or fall for the wise things that Satan has to offer you. Now, the choice is yours. What are you going to do here? Adultery, number one. Fornication, number two. Uncleanness, three. Lasciviousness is four. Idolatry, five. Witchcraft is six. Hatred, seven. Wrath is eight. Emulation is nine. Wrath, 10. Strife, sedition, and heresy, 13. Envy, murder, and drunkenness, and 17 works of the flesh to equal that 17-headed horned beast of Revelation chapter 12, the works of the flesh or the carnal mind opposing the spirit desire within you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me that you don't have Satan working with you. Did you know the Bible says that the very thoughts of foolishness is sin? And sin taking occasion by law deceived me, Paul said. Therefore, I confess that that which I found to be evil is good, for if the law had not said, I would have not known. These things that are conceived to be in my carnal mind as law, not acceptable to Yahweh. But the spiritual law is life and peace and love and charity, and the greatest of these is charity, which is the receiving of truth and standing for the truth and not falling for the serpent's lie. That's exactly what the objective is here upon the planet, to fight a good fight and to keep the faith and not deny the name as these prophets do. They only deny the name for profit. Not because they are prophets, but because they like profit. They like to look at their bank account. They like to open up the cards and letters, and they say, keep them coming, folks. We'll lie to you. Do you want to know that Jesus is God? That Jesus is his English name? Well, just keep listening in, and I'll tell you that. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. There's only one name for the Creator. It's not Jesus. It's not Satan. It's not Lucifer. It's not Jehovah. It's not Jesus, Eazes. It's not Baal. It's not Zeus. It's Yahweh. One name, and by one name we're all baptized into one body, and in one name salvation exists. You can't find, I'm going to repeat this now, this especially for you prophets of doom and gloom, as you promise your hearers liberty, and you yourself are a servant of corruption because you've fallen for the serpent's lie, to lie about the name and everything else that you know that's true. You'd lie when the truth would go better. But see, to tell the truth, you've got to suffer. And you don't want to suffer. You want to wallow in your tithes and offerings, whatever that's going to benefit you. I mean, you know, I think of a mighty man. I don't want to say anything derogatory about this great man. And his name was Herbert W. Armstrong. And he started out, matter of fact, he started keeping the Sabbath in the same year I was born in 1937. A long time ago, this old man, he became an old man, a respected, a world-renowned preacher prophet. And he built up a great college, Ambassador College, and the World Tomorrow radio program went around the world, and his son was, he just seemed like he had everything going for him until he ran into the name of Yahweh. And he had to either accept it or reject it. And he wanted to be lukewarm and not throw it plumb away because he knew what the Hebrew said. And yet, hang on to that other name, and his kingdom fell. Ladies and gentlemen, when you run into a prophet of Yahweh, and they rebuke you and bind you, the Bible said, whosoever that you bind in heaven is going to be bound on the earth, and whoever who you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven. So the fathers give us power in his name. If they said, marvel not that the spirits are subject to us in your name. Did you know the Bible says this gospel has to be preached in all the world, and in the end shall come. They preach Jesus all over the earth, saturated it, and they say, oh, we've got to preach it sometime where in the Congo. Maybe they've not heard it. Ladies and gentlemen, they can pass land and sea to make one proselyte in that name. And when they made him twofold more the child of hell than he was, because they want to oppose themselves and will not have the name of truth. It's not the salvation. And when they hear it, they'll cast it to the ground because they want to prosper. But what's the scripture say? Come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins. They love to live deliciously. Isaiah would tell you that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. For those who profess a name that they live by, but are dead. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all men that are upon the face of the earth
shall shake at my presence, where every knee shall bow, as the mountains are being thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall, and all things will become naked in my sight, and you will bow to my name, which is the only name given that's got salvation. There's not a translation name. No other name is given for salvation except the name that you can read 5,823 times in the Bible, undeniable even by those who profess that they know another God, which there be no other gods, and they that name or falsely name the God that they serve. We'll have to bow to that God in that day, and if he's not real, it's be an imaginary something that they've invented or come up with. Won't you be ashamed and naked and open in his sight when you'll have to confess his name as he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you have failed for the serpent's lie. As he opposed you and tricked you and enticed you for profit's sake, to preach the lie, the name of the lie, the name of the false gods, and the people of Baal, which are many, on the wide and the broad way where you gained, you will roast in hell with those, and you shall receive the greater damnation, and those even that you deceive will hate and despitefully use you as they use you for nothing but a chewing bone. As the Bible said, they shall gnash on them with their teeth, and appropriately so. You prophets are out there, you last day prophets that are denying the name of Yahweh. Get it ready. Because at the name of Yahweh, your knee shall bow. And your false God that you promoted and hung on to for filthy lucre's sake, or for pride, and for the envy that cast Satan down and got you in the same game. And hell, you'll lift up your eyes, and you'll see those over in Abraham's bosom, the eternal people that knowed, worshipped, and called on the only name. For Christ said, I have, for this cause, caused a Pharaoh to declare my name throughout the earth. Pharaoh never heard of a Jesus or a Jesus. There is no Jesus in the Old Testament. His name is Yahweh. And the Son of the New Testament said, I come in my Father's name. 5,823 times, the Father has got a name. It's not translated. It's transliterated, sound for sound, in every language of the earth. And that name is the same wherever. Hallelujah. And for that, I bow my knee to the eternal king. Well, I got to get out of here. My time is coming on. My, how I've enjoyed. I'm just getting warmed up in this fallen message. Next Sunday night will be the conclusion of the four-part series, and we will be back next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on 507 of WWCR around the world. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, simply take this address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip code is 37824. If you'd like to email me tonight, you're listening and you have email access, you can email Buddy1, that's a numeral 1, Buddy1 at CenturyTale.net. That's Buddy1 at CenturyTale.net. Now, if you'd like to call Dr. Gary tonight, you could call him tomorrow, toll-free. Let me give you a toll-free number. It's Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Please support your program. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. Now, we'd be glad to hear from you.
And I have a track on Hallelujah, the most awesome, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious name in the heavens and earth. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Oh, Hallelujah. It's the Tetragrammaton. It's the four letters that give us the vowel sound of the correct Hebrew name for our Creator. I just can't wait to get it to you. If you'd like to have it, address your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now again, if you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live. This is Sunday night. This is January the 23rd. You're listening to WWCR, Pastor Buddy. If you hear this on a playback, you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. You can call me tonight or any other time that you hear this message preached around the radio network of WWCR. And you can just simply call area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to have this series of The Falling Away, then note that or call me and let me know that you'd like to receive the series, and I would be glad to get it out to you. It's a four-take, 4 hours of The Falling Away. And I told you The Falling Away is going to be the best thing that ever happened to this world. Except there come a falling away, the end won't come. Well, we want the end to come, and glory to His great name, let Him be magnified in the earth. And let His great, magnanimous, magnificent name come richly into your life. And listen, folks, you must repent and be baptized in that name for the remission of sins. Now, let me repeat this. This is crucial and critical. You must repent and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't take no substitutes. Take the only name given that's not salvation, Acts 4:11-12. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see the truth and what the deceivers and the liars who have failed from their steadfastness have done, you'll understand the tremendous workload that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd Call team have got to bring the truth to you. You see, we have to fight through this tradition. We have to fight without falling against all of these evil, corrupt, profiteer preachers that call themselves last day prophets. Ladies and gentlemen, they're all like foxes on the desert. They don't have the truth. Well, I'll see you next Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call, and you're listening in tonight to Pastor Buddy. And I've enjoyed being with you. May all those who know the true name of the King Supreme, may you be blessed eternally. I'm looking forward to hearing from you this week. Get your cards and letters in the mail. I'll answer them as soon as I receive them. I answer all the mail. So, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. I'll see you on down the road. Yahweh bless you is my